has his grace, Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji, with us.
He's going to, as usual, enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam verse 5.4 and 5. But prior to that, I would hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji, who is going to give a brief introduction on Prabhu. Whenever you're ready, Mata.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Today we have with us His Grace Adi Gadadhar, who is a medical doctor and originally from Mumbai. He was introduced to Krishna consciousness by Gaura Gopal Prabhu in 1998 at the age of 18 years old. He was studying at Grant Medical College and JJ Hospital in Mumbai. He then joined ISKCON Chaupati and took initiation by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He has completed the Bhakti Shastri course taught by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. When Prabhuji took his Brahman Diksha from His Holiness Radhanath Swami, he asked his guru if he had any instructions for him. Maharaj asked him to share the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes as much as he could. He has taken that instruction to heart and is a speaker who is eagerly sought after to speak on Krishna Leela and Chaitanya Leela. He lives in Atlanta, Georgia, with his wife, Radhabhava Devidasi, herself a medical doctor, and two children, Gopal and Maitali. In his profession, he has been on the front lines of fighting COVID-19. He serves as a congregation director of ISKCON Atlanta, where he brings together many exalted speakers for the inspiration of the congregation. Both he and his wife are exceptional devotees with a personal practice of bhakti that is deep and a humility and sweetness that deeply touches the heart of every person who comes in contact with them. They love to serve the devotees and hear about Krishna as much as they can. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Tiffany Mataji. Very grateful to you for your very sweet and kind words. I will try to live up to what you said, what you spoke. Hare Krishna. So, very grateful to Shama Gauri Mataji and the organizers of Bhakti Sangha group for giving me this opportunity to serve all of you today. I hope my voice is clear. So, we are going to discuss two verses today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5th, chapter number 4, and we will be discussing text 4 and 5. Let us start with Mangalacharan prayers. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamhayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Anvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakhanvitamscha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prishthaya bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tuise Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Vasudeva Paraveda Vasudeva Paramatha Vasudeva Parayoga Vasudeva Parakriya Vasudeva Param Jnanam Vasudeva Param Tapaha Vasudeva Paro Dharmo Vasudeva Paragati Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Namo Pankajanabhaya Namo Pankajamaline Namo Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajangraye Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarato Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Tatradarana Paraha Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna dear devotees. So today we are going to study two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, entitled The Characteristics of Rishabhadev. And we are going to study verses 4 and 5. The vast majority of verses of Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam are in the form of poetry. They are in different Sanskrit meters. But then there are some verses in the fifth canto which are in the form of prose. They are in the form of prose, not poetry, but prose. And both the verses that we are going to read today are in the form of prose. So we just read them, we don't sing them. The verses of Srimad Bhagavatam that we were just chanting, we were singing them because they are in specific Sanskrit meters. But this is prose, so we'll just read them. Verse number 4. Nabhistu yathabhilakshitam suprajasvatva mavarudhya ti pramoda bharavivvalo gadgadaksharaya gira swayaram Gruhit Niraloka Sadharmam Bhagavantam Purana Purusham Maya Vilasita Matir Vatsat Tateti Sanuraga Mupala Layan Param Nivruti Mupagataha. translation and purport by our most beloved founder Acharya. Om Vishnupad Paramhamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Shtottar Shata Shri Srimad Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Due to getting a perfect son according to his desire, King Nabhi was always overwhelmed with transcendental bliss and was very affectionate to his son. It was with ecstasy and a faltering voice that he addressed him. My dear son, my darling, this mentality was brought about by Yoga Maya, whereby he accepted the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Father, as his own son. Out of his supreme will, the Lord became his son and dealt with everyone as if he were an ordinary human being. Thus, King Nabhi began to raise his transcendental son with great affection, and he was overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, joy, and devotion. My dear friends, we are discussing something very interesting from Srimad Bhagavatam. In the fourth canto, we read about the descendants of Swayambhu Manu. Swayambhu, there are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. And the first Manu is Swayambhu Manu. And he had two sons, Maharaj Uttanapad and Maharaj Pururava. In the fourth canto, we have studied about Maharaj Uttanapad and the descendants of Maharaj Uttanapad. Maharaj Uttanapad's son was Dhruva Maharaj. In the line of Dhruva Maharaj came Prithu Maharaj. Like that. So in the fourth canto, we discussed about one particular son of Swayambhu Manu, that is Uttanapad Maharaj. Now, in the fifth canto, we are discussing about the activities of Maharaj Pururava and his, Maharaj Priyavrat and his descendants. So we are discussing how, give me one second. Correct. Maharaj Priyavrat. And then now we are in the line of Maharaj Priyavrat, who is the second son of Swayambhu Manu. Now we are discussing about Maharaj Rishabhadev. So we are discussing how Nabhi and his good wife, they were very great devotees of the Supreme Lord. And they performed many, many austerities, offered many prayers to please the Supreme Lord, Sri Vishnu. And then Lord Vishnu appeared before Maharaj Nabhi and his wife, and he offered them a benediction. And Maharaj Nabhi and his wife asked the Supreme Lord that, please give us a son just like you. So the Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu, thought, there is no one like me. It is a fact. Krishna is called Asa Murdhva. Sama means equal and urdhva means higher. So a sama urdhva means there is no one who is equal to Krishna, and there is definitely no one who is better than him. So there is no one equal to Krishna. There is no one better than him. So Krishna said, there is no one like me. You asked for a child just like me, but there is no one like me. So let me become your son. I will take birth as your child. And the Supreme Lord appeared as the son of Maharaj Nabhi, and his name was kept as Rishabha. Rishabha means Rishabhate Vayam Rakshita Moho. In the Gopi Gita, the gopis are addressing Krishna as Rishabha. Rishabha means the best. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna calls Arjuna as Bharata Rishabha. Bharata Rishabha means the best among the Rishabha, the best among the descendants of Maharaj Bharat, means Arjuna. So therefore, he is called Bharata Rishabha, the best among the descendants of Bharat. So Rishabha means the best, and therefore, the son of Maharaj Nabhi, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was named Rishabha Dev. Rishabha means the best. So Rishabha Dev. So we are discussing how in this verse, verse number 4, Maharaj Nabhi was overwhelmed with love for his son and how he would consider him like his darling child and speak to him very affectionately, forgetting that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the sweetness of love. And in the last part of this verse, we see how Maharaj Nabhi was overwhelmed with transcendental. Transcendental because these emotions that Maharaj Nabhi is having towards his own son, they are not mundane emotions. They are transcendental emotions because that son happens to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we have any emotions, the emotions may be mundane, but when those emotions are toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his pure devotees, who are in essence non-different from the Lord, because their mood is non-different from the mood of the Supreme Lord. So when our emotions are directed toward the Supreme Lord or his pure devotees, those emotions become transcendental. So in the last part of this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us that Maharaj Nabhi was overwhelmed with transcendental, which means spiritual, transcendental bliss, joy, and devotion. So simultaneously, Maharaj Nabhi had joy, devotion, bliss, everything mixed together because of bhakti, because of devotion. Now let's see what Srila Prabhupada says in the purport. Purport, the word maya is used in the sense of illusion. Considering the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be his own son, Maharaj Nabhi was certainly in illusion. But this was transcendental illusion. Hare Krishna. So certainly it is not a fact as far as the spiritual siddhanta, the spiritual truth, tattva is concerned, that Maharaj Rishabhdev, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could be the son of a mortal, Maharaj Nabhi. How can the Supreme Transcendental Personality of Godhead be the son of a human being? It's not possible. From the point of view of siddhanta, from the point of view of tattva. But it is possible from the point of view of rasa, from the point of view of devotion and the pastimes of the Lord. It is possible. So here it is said that Maharaj Nabhi was certainly an illusion, but this was transcendental illusion. Hare Krishna. There are six ripus. Ripus means enemies. Shada ripu. There are six enemies that we have. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsar. So there is lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and illusion caused by false ego. And it is said that we can use all these bad qualities in Krishna's service. All these bad qualities can be used in Krishna's service. Lust can be used in Krishna's service when it is transformed into love. Gopya kama bhayat kamso dveshais chaidya dayon ripa sambandhad Vrishnayo snehad yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni tells Yudhishthir Maharaj that these devotees have all attained perfection. These personalities have all attained perfection by having different emotions towards Krishna. We'll not get into the verse, but the gopis attained perfection through their love for Krishna, gopya kama, because they had only one kamana, they had only one desire. Krishna darshana lalasa. They wanted to see Krishna. They wanted to serve Krishna. They wanted to be with Krishna. By having this desire, this kamana, gopya kamana, by having this pure desire to have Krishna, the gopis became perfect. We are referring to the young gopis, Vrajavadhus. Ramya ka chit upasana Vrajavadhu. We just chanted. Now the upasana, the most pleasing, Ramya. Ramya means pleasing. The most pleasing upasana is performed by the gopis of Vrindavan. So they obtained Krishna's mercy. They attained perfection of their life by always desiring Krishna. Gopya kama. Similarly, anger can be used in Krishna's service. What is the example? It is Arjun on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. When he was shooting those arrows, it was not like he was smiling and he was just doing it casually. No, with great anger. He was angry at Karna. He was angry at Jayadrath. And because you need anger to fight. You cannot fight without anger. You see how before these, of course we don't watch, but before coming to Krishna consciousness, sometimes I have watched. So before these wrestling matches or these boxing bouts, boxing games, the two contestants, they come face to face, face off. And they come and they are yelling at each other, calling each other bad names, pointing fingers at each other. Why? Because they are trying to incite their anger. Because you need anger to fight. It's unnecessary anger in this case. It's useless anger. It's mundane anger. But the principle is you need anger to fight. Arjun was fighting with anger. Similarly, another example of a devotee who used anger in Krishna's service and attained perfection is our Hanumanji. How he was angry when he saw Mother Sita suffering in Ashok garden. He directed his anger towards Ravan and Ravan's soldiers and the Rakshasas who were trying to give trouble to Srimati Sita Devi. And he punished them very nicely, beat them up and even killed many of them and killed one of the sons of Ravan, Akshay Kumar. He killed the gardener, Jambu Mali, who was the caretaker of the Ashok garden. So in this way, Hanumanji used anger and he burnt the Lanka. Except Ashok one, he burnt the entire Lanka down in anger. So anger can be used in Krishna's service. Greed. Tatra lolyam, Rupa Goswami says that the only way to get into Raganuga Bhakti. Many times devotees ask, Prabhuji, we are practicing Vaidhi Bhakti. Under sadhana bhakti, there is two divisions. There is Vaidhi Bhakti and there is Raganuga Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means following rules and regulations. We do things because we are expected to do, because we have taken a vow to do them. So that is Vaidhi Bhakti. And then there is Raganuga Bhakti. The aim for all of us is to attain Raganuga Bhakti in this very lifetime. So sometimes devotees ask, how do we attain the platform of Raganuga Bhakti? How can we attain Raganuga Bhakti? Have you ever wondered this? Any of you? All of you, all of us should think like that. Srila Rupa Goswami gives the answer in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, it is lavanyam, it is greed only that qualifies us to enter Raganuga Bhakti. There is one devotee here in Atlanta, very, very sincere devotee. He has been chanting for more than 2 decades now. Very sincere devotee. And for the last many months, he has been very desperately wanting to know about Raganuga Bhakti. He keeps asking, how can I know more about Raganuga Bhakti? Can you suggest some nice speakers who have spoken very deeply on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Srila Rupa Goswami? How can I attain Raganuga Bhakti? How can I attain Raganuga Bhakti? So he is a very great devotee. This greed is required. Instead of having greed for money, instead of having greed for Kanaka Kamini Kirti. These three things are the enemies that we have in this material world. Kanaka means gold, having greed for money. Kamini means fulfillment of our sense gratification. which is produced by lust. The desire is produced by lust. So satisfy our lust. That is kamini. And kirti means desire for recognition, appreciation, distinction. So kanaka, kamini, kirti. These three Ks are the enemies that take us away from the real K, Krishna. So we have to be very careful. Therefore, Mahaprabhu prayed, na dhanam means no kanak. Na janam means followers. Na sundarim. Na sundarim means I don't want sense gratification, specifically satisfaction of one's lust, lusty desires. Na sundarim. I don't want kamini. And then I don't want to be known as a kavi. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavita amva. Neither do I want to be known as a very learned kavi. So na janam and na kavi, these two means kirti. Kanaka kamini kirti. Kirti means appreciation, fan following, distinction, glorification. These are impediments on the path of bhakti. We should never ever aspire. In fact, one parameter to know whether we are making spiritual advancement is this. Please listen carefully, my dear friends. If someone glorifies us, and we feel sad upon hearing our glorification, genuinely sad, that is one sign of spiritual advancement. Another sign of spiritual advancement is if we don't waste time in mundane pursuits. If we are always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that is a sign of spiritual advancement. If we are browsing the internet, spending time on Facebook, WhatsApp, other things on internet, other social media platforms or news, sports, politics, if we are spending too much time on this, even weather, spending too much time on weather, any form of news, anything, mundane discussions, if we waste time, it is a very serious impediment in our bhakti. So this is how we have to judge ourselves, not others. If someone else is reading the newspaper or talking about some mundane topics, we should not judge them. But we should judge ourselves. We should assess our own spiritual progress on these parameters. When someone appreciates us, someone glorifies us, we should genuinely feel sad. Why sad? Because this devotee is so great that even in a fallen person, even in a person who is riddled with all faults like myself, he is able to see good things, like Tiffany Mataji. She was able to see some good qualities in a person like me who does not have any good qualities. So this is a sign of a very sincere devotee. So why should we feel sad? Oh, because this devotee is so advanced, this devotee is thinks so highly of me. But how disappointing it is that I'm not like that. And why don't I see good qualities in others? Why do I see faults in others? Thinking like this, a devotee feels sad when he or she is glorified. And avyartha kalatvam, not wasting time. That is another sign of spiritual advancement. So in this way, these so-called vices can also be, Srila Prabhupada said, dovetailed, can also be utilized in the service of Krishna. And how can we utilize pride in Krishna's service? By engaging in true pride. There is false pride where we are proud of our own abilities and accomplishments. And true pride means we are proud of our spiritual master, our spiritual masters. We are proud of the devotees. We are proud of Krishna. My Krishna is so great. How he saved Srimati Draupadi Devi in the Kuru Sabha. I love Krishna. How Krishna helped Arjun keep his promise. How Krishna blessed Bhishma Dev at the end of his life when he was about to leave his body. Oh, I love Krishna. I'm so proud of Krishna. Krishna is so perfect. Krishna is achyut. Krishna is infallible. That is true pride. Having pride in one's spiritual sampradaya, in one's spiritual path, taking pride in ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, feeling proud of Srila Prabhupada, his dedication, his example, his achievements, that is true pride. So we can cultivate true pride, not being proud of oneself, but being proud of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. That is our only pride. Sei mora pranadhana, sei mora abharana. Srila Narottam Das Thakur is singing about Rupa Goswami. Sei brata, sei tapa, sei mora mantra japa. Rupa Goswami is everything for me. So to consider our only pride, the great example of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas, is true pride. So we can cultivate true pride. How can we utilize envy? This is very difficult. How can we employ envy in the service of Krishna? Well, we can employ envy in the service of Krishna by cultivating spiritual envy. Of course, it's a very high stage of love. It may be beyond our realm of understanding at the present conditioned, contaminated situation that we find ourselves in. But nevertheless, it is something to think about, something to meditate upon, and something to wonder about. Oh, this is so great. There is spiritual envy also. This is really deep, my dear friends. Hare Krishna. For example, Srimati Radharani may feel spiritual envy towards Chandravali. And this only increases the pleasure of Krishna. The gopis may feel transcendental envy toward Krishna's flute, because Muralidhar is always keeping that flute with him. Even at night when he sleeps, he keeps the flute next to him. In the daytime, he keeps the flute tucked in his waist belt, the waist cloth that he ties as a belt. He keeps his flute tucked there. To call the cows, to call his friends, to call the gopis, he is playing his flute, and that flute is able to taste the adhar amrit, the nectar from the sweet lips of Krishna at all times. How fortunate is this flute, the gopis are thinking. And they are feeling some transcendental envy toward the flute. And then they are glorifying the bamboo plants of Vrindavan. Oh, how glorious are these bamboo trees of Vrindavan. They have attained perfection because one of their descendants has become Krishna's flute. And Krishna has many flutes. He has Murali, he has Venu, he has Vamshi. So many different flutes Krishna has. So for different occasions he plays. There is one flute which has only three holes. So that flute Krishna can play with his just one hand, with his right hand. For example, when he was lifting Govardhan, he was playing the three-holed flute because he could hold it with one hand and play. So Krishna has different types of flutes, and these flutes are being kissed by his divine transcendental nectarian lips. The gopis are thinking, and they are feeling envy towards the flute. The gopis feel envy towards the friends of Krishna, the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna, that all day long Krishna is with them in the forest. He is playing, they wrestle with Krishna. Sometimes they even beat Krishna, they even defeat Krishna. Oh, we wish we were there with Krishna. We would have massaged his limbs. by wrestling with his friends, running with his friends, running after the cows, Krishna's legs must be hurting. We wish we could go. Radharani and her sakhis think like this. We wish we could go with Krishna. When Krishna is playing, there is too much sun. We will hold an umbrella over Krishna's head so that Krishna doesn't feel the heat of the sun. There is no one to cook for Krishna in the forest. He's playing with his friends. He eats the tiffin that Yashoda Maiya packs, but that tiffin must be getting very cold by the time it's lunchtime. So we wish we could go to the forest with Krishna so we could cook for him. We could serve him nice hot prasad. Hare Krishna. These are the emotions of the gopi. So they feel some transcendental envy toward the friends who are always with Krishna throughout the day. The gopis say, why doesn't this Nanda Baba, he has got so many servants. Why doesn't he send some servants to graze the cows? Why our Krishna has to go? Why Shyam Sundar has to go and graze the cows? Nanda Maharaj is Maharaj. He is the king of Braja. Why can't he arrange some servants to take the cows? Why Krishna has to go? In this way, the gopis, they feel some special transcendental envy because of their extreme love for Krishna. And in this verse, verse number 4, we are seeing how illusion, the sixth vice in our heart, lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and illusion. How illusion can be used in Krishna's service. Illusion can be used in Krishna's service by forgetting that Krishna is God. By forgetting that Krishna is God. And just reciprocating with Krishna as Krishna's equal. There is a verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit, Adi Leela, chapter 3, verse number 15, where Krishna says, this is Krishna's thoughts in Chaitanya Charitamrit. Sakal jagate more kare vidhi bhakti vraja bhava paite nahi shakti. All over sakala jagate more kare vidhi bhakti. We discussed there are two types of devotion. There is vidhi bhakti and there is raganuga bhakti. And we have to enter the platform of raganuga bhakti by practicing vidhi bhakti nicely. But Krishna is saying sakala jagate more aha. Thank you so much. Whoever has shared the screen. Thank you. Sakala jagate more kare vidhi bhakti vraja bhava paite nahi shakti. We want vraja bhakti, isn't it? But we cannot get vraja bhakti, Krishna is saying. Vraja bhava paite nahi shakti. Cannot attain vraj bhakti. Cannot attain gopi bhava by vidhi bhakti. Only by raganuga bhakti. Only by raganuga bhakti. And in Raganuga Bhakti, what does the devotee say? Now go to Adi Leela, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. Again, Krishna's emotions. 4.21, 22. Adi Leela, chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. 21 and 22. Now see what Krishna is thinking. Again, these are Krishna's thoughts. Mora putra, mora sakha, mora pranapati, ei bhave jai more kare shuddha bhakti. Look at a beautiful verse. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai for giving this amazingly sweet nectar to all of us. Krishna is thinking, mora putra, mora sakha, mora pranapati, ei bhave jai more kare shuddha bhakti. That devotee who performs pure devotion unto me by considering me to be their son. Mora putra, Krishna is mine. Krishna is mine. See, now in our current state, we say, Krishna, I am yours. Krishna, I am yours. Krishna, I am yours. Do you accept me? Sakrideva prapannoyam tavasmiti sayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami tadvratam mama. In Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, Lord Ramachandra says, Sakrideva prapannoyam tava asmi iti yachate. If anyone does yachana, anyone prays like this, begs me that, tava asmi, I am yours. I am yours. Even one sakrit, even once a devotee prays like that, Abhayam sarvada atasmi. Forever I will give him protection, fearlessness. Dadami, I will give. Abhayam. Etat vratam mama. This is my vrat. So in the initial stages, in the stage of initial bhakti, we say, Krishna, I am yours. Amito tomar. But in the more advanced stage, we say, Tomito amar. Krishna, you are mine. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Amito tomara, tumito amara. So in the more advanced stage, we say, Krishna, you are mine. Krishna, you are mine. And here Krishna is saying that, Mora putra, mora sakha, mora pranapati, ehi bhave ye more kare shuddha bhakti. One who serves me with pure devotion, considering me to be my, I am their son, I am their friend, mora sakha, mora pranapati, I am the lord of their life. Shrimati Radharani and the gopis are saying, Ashlishishvapadaratam pinashtuma madarshanan marmahatam karotuva yatha tathava vidadhatu lampato mat prananathastu saevana para. You can do whatever you want with us, but we are eternally yours and you are the lord of our life. Mat prananath. Mat prananath, mat pranapati is same. You are the lord of my life. Napara. And there is no one else. This is so important. This is the gopi bhav. This is the gopi bhav. This is Braj Bhakti, my dear friends. Mat prananathastu sa eva napara. And there is no one else. Only you, Krishna. Only you. Ananyas chintayantoma. This is the meaning. And Krishna in battlefield of Kurukshetra is saying, Ananyas chintayantomam, yejana pariupasate. He is thinking of the gopis. Krishna is thinking of the gopis on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, my dear friends. Because it was in this battlefield of Kurukshetra, a few years earlier, before Bhagavad Gita was spoken, that Srimati Radharani and the gopis told Krishna, please come back to Vrindavan. Please come back to Vrindavan. And previously through Uddhav, Krishna had told them, just think of me in your heart, or it's okay, just move on in life. I have moved on. You also move on in life. And now the gopis are seeing in Kurukshetra that Krishna is doesn't have his peacock feather. He doesn't have his flute anymore. Venu kvananta maravinda dalaya taksham barhavatasi budasundara komalangam kandarpa kotikamaniya vishesha shobha Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That where is that peacock feather in Krishna's turban? Oh, he doesn't even have a turban now. He is wearing a golden crown with many precious jewels of Dwarka. Where is his flute? Instead of flute, he has got, instead of the flute being tucked under Krishna's belt, he has got a sword that is tucked. Instead of having his Madhumangal, Subal, Ujjwal, Shridam, Sudam, Arjun Sakha, Stoka Krishna, all these friends around him. Now he has got Uddhav and all these ministers, Kshatriya ministers, giving him some political advice. And oh, and where are those soft Nathate Padam? Where are those soft feet that we used to always feel scared that Shila Trinar Khuraya Siddhati Tinaha, when he goes to graze the cows in the forest, Chala Siya Davrajas Charayan Pashu Nalina Sundaram Nathate Padam. Chala Siya Davrajas Charayan Pashu Nalina Sundaram Nathate Padam. Shila Trinar Khurae Siddhati Tinaha Kalilata Mana Kanta Gachati. O Kant, hey Radha Kant, hey Gopi Kant, Krishna, O our Lord, Gachati Chalasi Yadavrajas Charayan Pashun. They are not even calling the cows cows. Pashu. The gopis are getting angry with the cows. Pashu. Silly animals. Here and there they run. They don't know what to do. They are going in places where there are sharp stones, where there are thorns, pebbles, rough grass. Wherever they see grass, they only know how to eat grass. They don't have any intelligence, these cows. Wherever they see grass, they will run there, not thinking that Krishna is following behind them. Chalasi adavrajas charayan pashun. Charayan, Krishna is Yamuna Tira Vanachari. He does Gocharan Leela. He is running behind his cows. Krishna, our Krishna loves these pashus, these animals called cows. But the cows don't understand. They should go to places where there is soft grass. But wherever they will find grass, even between the rocks, they will go and eat that grass, not knowing that our poor Krishna, without any footwear, without any shoes, is running behind them. And because they go to all these rough places where there are stones and pebbles and sharp thorns, what if they pierce Nathate Padam? Oh, his very soft lotus feet, what if they get pricked by the thorns and the sharp pebbles as Krishna is following behind the cows who have got hard hoofs? The cows don't feel the thorns. But what about our Krishna? His feet are not like the khur, the hooves of the cows. He has got soft lotus feet. We just chanted, Nama Pankaja Nabhaya, Nama Pankaja Maline, Nama Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankaja Andraye, Pankaja Andraye. His lotus feet are Pankaj, they are soft like lotus. So this gives great pain to the heart of the gopis when they see that Krishna is going here and there. Sharp thorns will prick his lotus feet. So this is love, my dear friends. So, mat prananathastu saevanapara. Krishna is our prananath. Aidina dayardranath he mathuranath kadavalokyase ridayam tvadaloka kataram daita brahmyati kim karomyaham. This is the crest jewel of all verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, spoken by Madhavendra Puri, taught to him by Srimati Radharani. Because when Krishna left Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani would constantly go under that tree under which they had the most confidential pastimes, and she would weep and cry and repeatedly chant this prayer. And that tree heard this prayer from Srimati Radharani. And when that Kalpavriksha tree came down to earth planet as Shripad Madhavendra Puri, his Guru Maharaj is Srimati Radhika Rani. And Shripad Madhavendra Puri had got this mantra from Radharani. Again and again, he would chant this mantra throughout his life and especially at the time of his departure. Ai Deena Dayardra Nath Hai. Again, Nath, the word is used. Nath. And how, what kind of a Nath? Ai means, oh, alas, alas. Deena Dayardra. Oh, Deen Dayal, oh, most merciful Nath, my Lord, you are so merciful. But even though you are so merciful, look what has become of you. Instead of being Vrindavan Nath, now you have become Mathura Nath. You have gone away to Mathura. Ai Deena Dayardra Nath He Mathura Nath Kadavalokyase. When will I see you? When will I see you? Kadavalokyase. Ridayam Twad Aloka Kataram. Ridaya Kataram. My heart is broken because alok, because I am not able to see you. Not being able to see you, my heart is adarshanan marma hatam karotuva. Ridayam tvadaloka kataram daita brahmyati kim karomyaham. Oh, daita. Daita is a very, very affectionate call to the Lord. Daita. Daita, daita. Oh, the most beloved. Daita Brahmyati. We have become bewildered. We don't know what to do. Daita Brahmyati. Kim karomyam? And because I'm bewildered, she's asking, what should I do now? You have gone. What will I do? You have gone. What to do? This is unimagined. This is Mahabhava of Srimati Radharani. This is Radha Bhava in the 8th verse of Shikshashtaka. and in this verse of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We may not understand the meaning, we may not understand the emotions, but we should keep chanting this verse again and again. Because Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, this verse is like a stick of sandalwood, chandan. If you keep rubbing chandan on a stone again and again and again and again, and the more you rub, initially nothing happens, but the more you rub, fragrant sandalwood paste, sandalwood pulp comes out, which can be offered to Krishna. And Kaviraj Goswami says, this verse, Ai dina dayardranath he mathuranath kadamalokya se ridayam tvadaloka kataram daita brahmyati kim karomyam, is like sandalwood. Keep chanting it. Keep rubbing it, rubbing it, rubbing it, rubbing it, rubbing it, and beautiful fragrance of realizations and deeper understanding of this verse will come manifest in our heart. And we will also start feeling separation from Krishna. Nayanam galadashrudharaya vadanam gadgadaruddaya gira pulakair nichitam vapu kada tavanam grahane bhavishyati. Look at Srila Prabhupada. Paramakaruna pahudui jana nitai gaura chandra. He comes to Atlanta in 1975. And just chanting this song of Srila Lochandas Thakur, tears of ecstasy start pouring from his beautiful eyes. In fact, the devotees who were there with Srila Prabhupada throughout, they endorse to this fact that tears were always present in Srila Prabhupada's eyes. Srila Prabhupada's eyes were always moist with tears of love. This is the highest stage of bhakti, to cry for Krishna. Now look at Srila Prabhupada's disciple, His Holiness Radha Govinda Das Goswami Maharaj. He is sitting in Vrindavan and crying. For years now, he is crying and crying and crying. You just chant Hare Krishna in front of him, he starts crying. He sees a drama of Radha and Krishna, he starts crying. He goes to some Leela Sthali in Vrindavan, he starts crying. He is crying, crying. This is the perfection, my dear friends. Nayanam galadashrudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulakair nichitam vapu kadatava namagrahane bhavishyati. These are the symptoms of ecstasy. So Srimati Radharani is looking at Krishna's lotus feet. They are covered with shoes. No, you please come. You please come back to Vrindavan, because that is where you feel the greatest joy. So they want to bring Krishna back. So, Mora Pranapati, you are my Lord. Mora Pranapati. There is no one else. Mat Pranamatu Soyava Napara. Ananya Chintayantumam Yejana Pariupasati. Tesha Nityabhyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Bahamya. Then I will provide. If my devotee calls out to me like this in separation, like Draupadi Devi did, I will become Draupadi Sari, invisible to everyone. I will embrace her in the form of her Sari. If Srimati Radharani goes under that Kalpa Vriksha tree and cries, Ai Dina Dayardhra Nathahe, I will, in her heart, I will embrace her internally, heart to heart, such a tight loving embrace. That is how the gopis survived, otherwise it was not possible to survive. Because Krishna was reciprocating, heart to heart, internally, the gopis were able to maintain their life. Mora putra, mora sakha, mora pranapati, ehi bhave jehi more kare shuddha bhakti, apana ke bada mane amare samahin, sehi bhave hai ami tahara adhin, apana ke bada mane amare samahin, sehi bhave hai ami tahara adhin. If you want to bring Krishna under your control, aham bhakta paradhin, Aham bhakta paradhino hi asvatantra eva dvija sadhu virgrasta ridayo bhaktair bhakta janapriyaha. Apanake bada mane. They consider themselves to be better than me. Amare samahin. And me, they consider me to be either their equal or subservient to them. Nanda Maharaj telling Krishna, go bring my sandals. And Krishna carrying his father's sandals on his head and bringing it. Yashodama is chasing Krishna with a stick and Krishna is trembling. Atanka netram, there is fear in his eyes. And Shrimati Radharani going into Maan and getting angry with Krishna, and Krishna falling at her lotus feet. And Shrimati Radharani's lotus feet are covered with red kumkum. And on that kumkum, on the soles of the soft lotus feet of Shrimati Radharani, Krishna writes, Shyam. Krishna writes his own name on the soles of the soft reddish lotus feet of Shrimati Radharani. Shyam, Shyam, I am yours. Shyam, 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 Shri Radhe. Oh, Shyama, I am your Shyam. Tahara Adhin. That is the meaning. Tahara Adhin. Krishna becomes Adhin. What is the bhav that controls Krishna? That you consider Krishna to be his. You consider Krishna to be either lower, subservient to you, subordinate to you, or your equal. Like the friends consider Krishna to be equal. When Krishna killed Kamsa, he dragged Kamsa and punched him to death in the Rangabhumi, in the wrestling arena of Mathura. And Nanda Baba and some of his friends also had accompanied Krishna to Mathura. So Shridham says, I'm horrified by what you did. This Kamsa was supposed to be the most powerful demon, and you killed him like this. You cannot be my Krishna. You cannot be my Krishna, because my Krishna is not so strong. So this is the meaning. Apana ke bada mane amare samahin. He considers Krishna to be weaker than him. I defeat Krishna when we wrestle in the forest of Vrindavan. I can outrun him. I can out wrestle him. I can outdo him in everything. But my Krishna, killing Kamsa, who is so powerful, you cannot be my Krishna. You must be somebody else. Krishna says, let's have a fight. And in that same Rangabhumi, then Krishna and Shridham, they have a fight. Shridham is the elder brother of Shrimati Radhika Rani. And Shridham defeats Krishna in Mathura. And then Shridham and all the Gopas' friends are there. This is our Krishna. He's defeated. That means he's our Krishna. This is apana ke bada mane amare samahin sei bhave hai ami tahara adhin. So enjoy this nectar, my dear friends. This is life. Let's see what Srila Prabhupada says in the purport. This is Raganuga Bhakti. Following in the footsteps of the Ragatmika Bhaktas, Yashoda Maiya, Shrimati Radharani, Shridham, these are all Ragatmika Bhaktas. They are eternal associates of the Lord. And to worship them on the altar of our heart, to pray to them, and to have the greed to get a drop of their bhav, get a drop of their method of devotion, is called Raganuga Bhakti. To follow in the footsteps of the Ragatmika Bhakta is Raganuga Bhakti. So verse number, we go to the purport. Krishna Govinda. It's 1 hour and we have purport. The word Maya is used in the sense of illusion. Considering the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be his own son, Maharaj Nabhi was certainly in illusion, but this was transcendental illusion. This illusion is required, otherwise how can one accept the Supreme Father as his own son? The Supreme Lord appears as the son of one of his devotees, just as Lord Krishna appeared as the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. These devotees could never think of their son as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. For such appreciation would hamper their relationship of parental love, paternal love. It would hamper. So no. Now we go to verse number 5. Viditanu raga mapaura prakriti janapado raja nabhi ratmajam samaya setu rakshaya mabhishischa brahmaneshu Panidhaya Saha Meru Devya Vishalayam Prasanna Nipunena Tapasa Samadhi Yogena Naranarayanakhyam Bhagavantam Vasudevamupasinaha Kalena Tan Mahima Namabap. Translation. King Nabhi understood that his son Rishabhadev was very popular among the citizens and among government officers and ministers. Understanding the popularity of his son, Maharaj Nabhi enthroned Maharaj Rishabhdev as the emperor of the world to give protection to the general populace in terms of the Vedic religious system. To do this, he entrusted him into the hands of learned Brahmanas who would guide him in administrating the government. Then Maharaj Nabhi and his wife Meru Devi went to Badrikashram in the Himalayan mountains, where the king engaged himself very expertly in austerities and penances with great jubilation. In full samadhi, he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who is Krishna, Vasudev, in his plenary expansion. By doing so, in course of time, Maharaj Nabhi was elevated to the spiritual world known as Vaikuntha. Purport. So here we see how Maharaj Nabhi, he got Rishabhdev Maharaj as his son. Seeing that his son was qualified, he made him the king and himself went along with his wife, Srimati Meru Devi, to Badrikashram to serve and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vasudev, who lived there in the form of Naranarayan Krishna. Purport. When Maharaj Nabhi saw that his son Rishabhdev was popular with the general populace and the governmental servants, he chose to install him on the imperial throne. So this is very important, my dear friends. Maharaj Rishabhdev was popular with the general population of the general citizens as well as the governmental servants. What is the tendency in Kali Yuga? That either you are very popular with the people and you take all irrational decisions just to please the crowd, but then the executive body, the intelligentsia of society, the government servants, they will not agree with you and they will not like you. And then there will be a political coup or something. On the other hand, one can be like a dictator and be very popular amongst one's associates, the government servants, and looting the people, and the people will not like. So the officers in power are happy, but the general people are suffering. That is the other extreme. But here we see Maharaj Rishabhdev, the son of Maharaj Nabhi and Meru Devi. He was a very great personality, ideal king. He was popular not only among the general people, but also among the administrators. This means that a monarch was in addition, he wanted to entrust his son into the hands of the learned Brahmana. So when he saw that his son was very endowed with good qualities, he was a very nice child, very popular, Maharaj Nabhi took great care that very qualified Brahmanas, very qualified teachers, became the preceptors for his son, Maharaj Rishabhdev, so that he got the best training. This means that a monarch was supposed to govern strictly according to the Vedic principles under the guidance of learned Brahmanas who could advise him according to the standard Vedic scriptures like Manusmriti and similar Shastras, Dharma Shastras. So this is very important, which means we must invest in the upbringing of our children. We must teach them Krishna consciousness. We must teach them the knowledge that will equip them to become very useful, contributing members of the society in a very positive way. It is the duty of the king to rule the citizens according to Vedic principles. According to Vedic principles, society is divided into four categories. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Chaturvarnam, Maya, Shrishtam, Gunakarma, Vibhagashah. After dividing society in this way, it is the king's duty to see that everyone executes Vedic principles according to his caste. So this caste is not the caste system that is very unpopular and has earned a bad reputation in the modern world. This is the caste system that is very natural. It is created by Krishna. There is no exploitation. The Brahmanas, Vaishyas and Kshatriyas, they first feed the Shudras. They make sure that the Shudras have enough. Everybody is taken care of. The Shudras serve the other three classes. The Brahmanas, they give spiritual knowledge to the other three categories, other three castes, so that everyone is spiritually protected. The Kshatriyas give military protection so that everyone can do their bhajan peacefully. And the Vaishyas produce enough food and food grains and foodstuffs and economic development in the society so that everyone is prosperous. So in this way, there is cooperation between the four natural castes, just like the Brahmanas are like the brain, the intelligence. Kshatriyas are like the hands, power. Vaishyas are like the belly, digestion, absorption, assimilation. And Shudras are like the feet, carrying the burden of the whole body. They are serving. So it's very natural. But there is no exploitation. Why? Because service to Krishna, pleasing Krishna, is in the center of this Varnashram Dharma. Atapumbirdvija Shreshta Varnashrama Vibhagashah Swanuchishashta Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. Because Haritoshanam is the aim. Pleasing Lord Hari is the aim. The Varnashram Dharma becomes, without any exploitation, it becomes perfect. A Brahman must perform the duty of a Brahman without cheating the public. It is not that one attains the name of Brahman without the qualifications. It is the king's duty to see that everyone engages in his occupational duty according to Vedic principles. In addition, retirement at the end of life is compulsory. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is very clearly saying, retirement at the end of life is very compulsory. Please put yourself in the shoes of Maharaj Nabhi. Maharaj Nabhi is a great king. He's a great devotee, very successful king, very popular king. Now he has a son, Rishabhdev, who is equally qualified, actually more qualified. He is very well trained, thanks to his father who invested in his upbringing and education. And now he has been enthroned. So now Maharaj Nabhi and his wife Meru Devi could stay in the palace under the protection of their son, Maharaj Rishabhdev, and receive service from him, receive comforts and luxuries from him, and live a nice, comfortable, retired life in material illusion. This is what the entire modern human society wants. But this is not what our Vedic scriptures are teaching us. This is not what Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Purana. It is a spotless Purana. It is heavy. This is heavy stuff. You are a king. You have saved enough. You don't have to worry about retirement. You don't need a 401k. You don't need a financial advisor. The whole planet belongs to you. So your retirement is secure. You have got the best vaidyas, doctors at your beck and call. You have got servants. You have got vast wealth. And you have got a loving son who will respect you and care for you. Not that there was some difference of opinion with the daughter-in-law or something like that. Nothing like that. Everything was very harmonious. Everything was very peaceful. Everything was very perfect for Maharaj Nabhi and his wife Meru Devi to enjoy a retired life, comfortable retired life. And yeah, they could chant a few rounds also. Hare Krishna. That is not retired life. That is not retired life. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us tivrena bhakti yogena. Devotional service should be fired up. Not that I will keep one leg in material enjoyment and one leg in Krishna consciousness. Or I will keep both my legs in material enjoyment and only from time to time I will touch the tip of my toe of one leg to Krishna consciousness and then come back in material enjoyment. No. Maharaj Nabhi could have enjoyed with his wife, Meru Devi. Oh, I have worked hard. I have created this vast kingdom. Now it is my time to lie down on a hammock and relax. Drink a pina colada on a beach. The whole earth belonged to him. No. That is not the purpose of human life. Human life is not meant for sense gratification. Sense gratification will be finished when the body dies. We would not be talking about Maharaj Nabhi if he did that. We are reading about Maharaj Nabhi. Srimad Bhagavatam is glorifying Maharaj Nabhi because of his example. What did he do? Tyaktva turna mashesha mandalapati shrenim sadatuchavat bhutva dina ganesha kaukarunaya kopi nakantha shrito Radha Krishna Maharanisham Prabhajatau Jivhartha Dauyau Muda Vande Rupa Sanatanau Raghu Yugau Shri Jiva Gopalakau Radha Krishna Maharanisham Prabhajatau Prakrishna Rupena Bhajan. If you want to completely worship Krishna, Aharnisha. Ahar means day. Nisha means night. Radha Krishna Maharanisham Prabhajatau. If you want to do this, then Tyaktva Turna Mashesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sada Tuchava. Our Goswami, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Srinivas Acharya is writing. Raghunath Das Goswami. son of the Majumdars. Fantastic wealth. Rup and Sanatan Goswamis. Oh, they were the ministers of Maharaj Nawab Hussain Shah, the Badshah of Bengal. They had vast wealth. Mandalapati. They were very, very fabulously wealthy. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami also. He came from a very aristocratic Brahmin family, Tapan Mishra. When he was going to Jagannath Puri, he had a servant carrying luggage for him. Hare Krishna. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was the son of the high priest of Lord Ranganath in Sri Rangakshetra. Very aristocratic family. Very well-to-do family. So all of them, and Jiva Goswami, of course, he's the favorite nephew of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, who were very, very rich. They had a palace in Ramkeli. All six of them gave up everything. Why? Because they were mad after the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. Tyaktva turnam ashesha mandalapati shrenim sada tuchhava. But it's not that they gave up and then they are thinking, oh, my bedroom in Ramkeli. Ah, what a beautiful ivory bed I had. How soft that mattress was. Now I have to sleep under these trees in Vrindavan. No, not like that. Tuchhavat. They considered it tuchha. They didn't care for it. Just like we don't care for our stool. After we pass the stool in the morning, we just flush it. We don't, oh, my stool. 2 pieces of stool gone. Let me put my hand, let me grab them, bring them back. No, we don't care for that piece of stool. Tuchhavat, like that. Wealth, prestige, Kamini, Kanaka, Kirti was like stool. This is not my analogy. Srimad Bhagavatam tells us. It was like stool. Refuse, reject. They didn't care about it. Why? Because Param Dristvani Vartate. They had a higher taste. They had tasted the nectar of the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna. What is the taste of those lotus feet? What is the taste of the holy name? Madhuram madhurebhyopi mangalebhyopi mangalam pavanam pavanebhyopi harernamaiva kevalam. Rupa Goswami is desiring millions of tongues, millions of ears to taste madhuram madhurebhyopi harernamaiva kevalam. To taste the holy name of Krishna. He is not desiring, I desire many, many vacation homes, many, many servants, many, many pots of gold. No, he didn't care for those things. He did not care for those things. Hare Krishna. So, retirement is compulsory, Srila Prabhupada is saying. We should not plan to just live a comfortable life of wealth. We must plan how we can get Krishna. Paramalabha uttama shloka darshanam. The supreme benefit, the supreme attainment is the darshan of uttama shloka Krishna. Krishna darshan alalasa. That is the real desire, to have Krishna darshan. Then, it's compulsory. Maharaj Nabhi, although still a king, retired from family life and went with his wife to the place called Badrikashram in the Himalayas, where the deity Naranarayan is worshipped. The words prasanna nipunena tapasa indicate that the king accepted all kinds of austerity very expertly and jubilantly. See? Because they have higher taste. Otherwise, therefore we must pray for taste. If we don't get taste, we cannot do it. Namnamakari bahudanija sarva shaktis tatrarpitanyamita smaranena kalaha etadrishi tavakripa bhagavan mamapi durdaiva midrishamiha januna anuraga na anurag. If we don't have taste, we will not chant. Even though the holy name is all powerful, we will not chant if we don't have taste. So we should pray for taste. Krishna, please give me taste in chanting your holy names. They had taste. That's why they were able to be very jubilant there. He did not at all mind living comfortable life at home, although he was the emperor. Hare Krishna. Despite undergoing severe austerities and penances, he felt very pleased at Badrikashram and he did everything very expertly there. This is bhav. When we go to Vrindavan, when we go to the Holy Dham, we should not feel, oh, this doesn't have the central heating like my house in America. Oh, this doesn't have flowing hot water in the faucets or in the bathroom shower like I do No. That kind of thoughts are not good. We must pray for purification so that such thoughts don't come. We should happily accept whatever austerities come. Tapo devyam putra kaayana. For a higher purpose, to become purified. In this way, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Samadhi yoga. Always thinking of Krishna. Vasudev. Krishna is also called Vasudev. Maharaj Nabhi attained success at the end of his life and was promoted to the spiritual world. Vaikuntha Lok. Hare Krishna. This is success of life. This is success of life. You see, when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was on this planet, 16th century, there must be someone who was the richest person on earth, isn't it? But do we know who was the richest person on planet earth in the 16th century? I'm sure nobody knows, but we all know who Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Mahashaya is, because he was the richest person spiritually. When Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there around 120 years ago on this planet, there must be some richest person on earth, right? How many of you know the name of the richest person in the year 1910? Tell me. Nobody knows, nobody cares, but we deeply worship Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the altar of our heart. Why? Because he was the richest person spiritually on the planet. So material wealth is not important. Kamala dala jala jivanatala mala. Material wealth is like our entire existence actually. It's like a dew drop on the leaf of a lotus. It will just slip down and disappear in no time. One wind blows and the dew drops are swept away. Finished. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of foam, the bubbles in the water. They are there for a few seconds and poop, 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 they pop. Eventually, all the bubbles will pop. No bubble will survive. Hare Krishna. In this way, this is the way of Vedic life. Now, I will not speak anything because we have already run out of time. I will just read Srila Prabhupada's divine words. Hare Krishna. This is the way of Vedic life. One must stop the process of repeated birth and death and return home back to Godhead. The words tan mahimanam avapa are significant in this regard. Srila Sridhar Swami says that mahima means liberation in this life. We should act in such a way in this life that after giving up this body, we will become liberated from the bondage of repeated birth and death. This is called Jivan Mukti. Srila Veera Raghava Acharya states that in the Chandogya Upanishad, there are 8 symptoms of a Jivan Mukta person who is already liberated even when living in this body. So Srila Prabhupada is saying we should look at Srila Prabhupada's great expertise and knowledge and scholarship. In this one purport, Srila Prabhupada, in one paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Srila Sridhar Swami and Srila Veera Raghava Acharya. Just see. And Srila Prabhupada's purports are based on the purports of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Later on in this purport, he will quote Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also. Just see how we must read the verses of the words of the previous acharyas. See that? Satya Sankalpa, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out. So like that, our acharyas have given us so much wealth. We must absorb our life in the Mahajan Vakya, in the words of the Mahajans. Instead of Fox News and CNN News and this channel is ESPN, this Bollywood, Hollywood, this nonsense. Why should we surrender our mind and intelligence and our time to such horrible, shallow forms of entertainment? If at all it can be called that. So we should act in such a way in this life that after giving up this body, we become liberated from the bondage of repeated birth and death. This point is very important, my dear friends. For example, if I am getting a salary of $3,000 per month, that is my salary, $3,000 per month. If I spend all $3,000 in my rent, my grocery, my utility bills, eating out in restaurants, going on vacations, I just spend every penny of my salary and I'm living paycheck to paycheck to paycheck without saving anything. And somebody comes and says, Prabhu, you should save. Why should I save? I'm earning, I will spend and enjoy. Next month I will again earn and I will again enjoy. Why should I save? no, what will happen to you in case of emergency? What will happen when you retire? What will happen when you cannot work anymore? You must save for the future. Just like we save for the future. Everybody saves for the future, right? All of us are having some savings. We save for the future. Just like we save money for the future, Srila Prabhupada is saying, we have to act in such a way in this life that after giving up this life, we are liberated from this material bondage. So all this chanting that we are doing, all this Harikatha that we are hearing, all this devotional service that we are doing, it is creating our next life, my dear friends. And we must invest in it. How much we invest in this life? I want to have this. I want to get my 6-monthly dental checkup, annual health checkup, 30 minutes exercise every day, 2 meals in a day, 3 meals in a day, nice this, that, everything we take care of, all our maintenance very carefully. But what about our next life? Just like we plan for this life, savings, retirement account, this, that, 401k, we have to think about next life also. If we are only thinking of this life, it's like a person who is thinking only of this month. Whatever I earn in this month, I will spend it in this month and be done with it. It is like that. If you only think of this life, we are like a person who is spending all the money in that month, thinking of that month only, not beyond that. We have to think beyond this life. What will happen to me in my next life? Let me save for that. Let me prepare my next life. The first symptom, so there are 8 symptoms of a person who is liberated, Jivan Mukta. Even in this world, even in this body, while living in this world, he is Jivan Mukta, he or she. What are the 8 symptoms? The first symptom of one so liberated is that he is freed from all sinful activity. Apahata papa. As long as one is under the clutches of Maya in the material energy, one has to engage in sinful activity. Bhagavad Gita describes such people as duskritinaha. Namam duskritina mudaha prapadyante naradamaha. Mayaya aparita jnanam asuram bhavam ashritaha. Which indicates that they are always engaged in sinful activity. One who is liberated in this life does not commit any sinful activities. Sinful activity involves illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. So following the 4 regulative principles strictly brings us to the platform of mood of goodness, brings us to the sinless platform practically. Okay. So this is very important. We should not commit sins. And there are 6 symptoms of a Jivan Mukta that are mentioned in this purport. We'll quickly go through them and I will give one example from the life of our perfect founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, how he demonstrates. So first is, he is apahata paap. He doesn't perform any sinful activities. Te tva antagatam paapam janana punya karmana te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajate maam dridavrata. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if someone wants to engage in my service with great determination and steadiness, te tva antagatam paapa jananam punya karmana. That person has to be punya karma. And he has to be antagatam paapa. He has to stop all sinful activities. So let's see how Srila Prabhupada was such a perfect example. Srila Prabhupada was living in his room in Radha Damodar temple. And there were some spiders, cobwebs in his room. And there is one local Goswami there, local Brahman. He was much younger than Prabhupada. And he was really very, very much touched by Srila Prabhupada's saintly qualities. And he wanted to offer some service to Srila Prabhupada. So he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, please give me permission to clean your rooms today. I want to do some service. Of course, that time he was not Prabhupada. He was Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. So our Prabhupada said, all right, you can do that service. Because Prabhupada was almost 69 years old and this boy was in his 20s. He wanted to do some service for Prabhupada. So he got a broom and he cleaned up both the rooms of Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada entered, he saw that there were spiders and spider webs living in a corner near the ceiling of one of his rooms. Srila Prabhupada asked, where did those spiders go? This person said, oh, I just killed them. I just killed them when I was cleaning. So Srila Prabhupada chastised him. Srila Prabhupada said that they are also Brajvasis, these spiders. They also have a right to live. We can move them somewhere else, but we cannot kill them. We don't have a right to kill. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said in 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are studying later on, towards the end of this canto, you will see how there are specific hells for people who kill insects also. So we have to be very careful. We have a right to protect ourselves, but we don't have a right to kill. Hare Krishna. So this is Srila Prabhupada's example. Then second quality, another symptom of a liberated person is Vijara. Jara means old age. Vijara, which indicates that he is not subjected to the miseries of old age. That is second quality. Not subjected to the miseries of old age. And what is the example of Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada in 1977 November, lying on the bed, his, excuse my language, but lying on his deathbed. Of course, we know Vaishnavas never die. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when they are still living in sound. Vaishnavas live to die. Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. So Srila Prabhupada doesn't die. He's a pure devotee. He appears and he disappears. But on his deathbed, Srila Prabhupada, moments away from inevitable death, Srila Prabhupada is translating Srimad Bhagavatam. He's absorbed in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in Ramanareti, in the holy month of Kartik, surrounded by loving Vaishnavas who are chanting Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada was not subjected to old age and miseries of old age, because even on his deathbed, he was doing what he had done all his life, translating and giving purport to Srimad Bhagavatam. Number three, another symptom is Vimrityu. A liberated person prepares himself in such a way that he does not take on any more material bodies which are destined to die. In other words, he does not fall down again to repeated birth and death. Next symptom is Vimrityu. Vimrityu means he has conquered repeated birth and death. What is the example of Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada came to America, and of course Srila Prabhupada was wearing his sannyas dhoti, sannyas chadar, Vaishno tilak, shaved head, kanthi mala, Brahmin thread, japamala in his hand. Prabhupada is telling us how we should be, how we should be dressed, how we should carry ourselves. And he gets into a cab, and the cab driver starts asking Prabhupada questions. What is this? What is this? What path you are following? So he asked Prabhupada, oh, I have heard these yogis from India, they can perform miracles, they can produce ash, they can do so many things, they can read mind, they can foretell the future. What miracle can you perform, Swamiji? Srila Prabhupada said, put me in a room with the most beautiful naked women and I will not be agitated. No lust. Srila Prabhupada spoke this to the taxi driver because he knew that taxi driver was addicted to pornography, addicted to prostitution, sex. He was a rascal, sense gratifier. So Prabhupada spoke to him in a language that he will understand. When Srila Prabhupada was asked by a drug addict, how does it feel to chant Hare Krishna? What is the ecstasy of chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, it's like having an ocean of LSD. Hare Krishna. As an acharya, Srila Prabhupada is teaching us in a language that we can understand. What is the use if we speak in a language which the listeners cannot understand, cannot relate to? This is Srila Prabhupada's genius. He told the taxi driver, put me in a room with the most beautiful naked women, I will not be agitated even in the slight. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada is situated in a Siddha Swarup as a Manjari, made servant of Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Manjari, Srimati Radharani. What is the beauty of this world? Nothing. Nonsense. This beauty of this material world is sweat, stool, urine, skin, flesh, and flapping bones, nothing else. How will a person who is situated in his spiritual body get attracted to this nonsense? If I keep a hog's stool in front of you, will your mouth start watering? This is so tasty. Give me hot, fuming stool of a hog. No, you'll be disgusted. You'll be disgusted. When we see a dog, we are going for a walk and some irresponsible citizen has not cleaned up after their dog and there is dog stool lying on the sidewalk. What do we do? We see dog stool. Do we step on it? Do we jump on it? Do we pick it up with our hands and eat it? No. We avoid it. It is nonsense. It is disgusting. We avoid it. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada is avoiding sense gratification. It is disgusting. Tuchhavat. Why? Because he has a higher taste. Such a person never falls down. Prabhupada said, freedom from lust means liberation. Srila Prabhupada is demonstrating as Acharya, he is liberated. He has no agitation, no desire for sense gratification. This is Maithunagar. This world is a prison house of lust. The shackles, the bars are made of lust. Kamaesha, krodhaesha, rajogunat samudbhava. Mahashano, mahapapma, vedyanam, yavairinam. Lust is our enemy, but we don't know. We are embracing lust. We are watching things that will increase our lust. We are reading things that will increase our lust. We are hearing things that will increase our lust. Look at the advertisements. They are designed to increase our lust. Srila Prabhupada is beyond all this lust because he's experiencing love. Love is like gold. Lust is like rusted iron. Srila Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Somebody has got vast gold. Why will he be attracted to iron? Indu Mataji screen. Indu Mataji, if I give you real dollars and I give you fake children playing currency, they are fake dollar bills? Will you be attracted to the real dollars or the fake dollars? Of course, real dollars. You will not care about that fake money. That fake money has no value. It is raddi. It is recycled trash. But you will be attracted to the real dollars. That's the real thing. Krishna consciousness is the real thing. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending is not the real thing. That is like fake currency. We don't care about it. Srila Prabhupada is demonstrating. Number four, another symptom is Vishok, which indicates that he is callous, not interested to material distress and happiness. That is four, not affected by material happiness or distress. Example, in Prayag, in the Ardha Kumbh Mela, in Prabhupada Dilamrita stories, there Srila Prabhupada took bath in the freezing cold, chilly water early in the morning, before Brahma Murtha at 4 o'clock, as Acharya. Even the young disciples were scared to do it. Srila Prabhupada did that. When Srila Prabhupada was in Malaysia, he had to stay in a place where meat eating was happening. Srila Prabhupada fasted for 3 days. Srila Prabhupada fasted for 3 days because meat eating was going on. He didn't want to eat in a house where there was meat being consumed. As Acharya is teaching us. Another symptom is, so if Prabhupada was attached to happiness and distress, why would Srila Prabhupada take bath in the cold water? He's affected by distress. No. Not caring for distress, Prabhupada took bath. If he is caring for tasty food, happiness, then why would he fast in a meat eater's house? Jaya Srila Prabhupada. That's why he's Acharya. That's why Srila Prabhupada is a perfect Acharya. Another is, sometimes devotees say Prabhupada was not a perfect Acharya. Sometimes he says the verses wrong in his lectures. That is nonsense, bogus. We should kick such a devotee on the head. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is a perfect Acharya. Why? Because rascal, fool, you don't know what is the meaning of perfect Acharya. Perfect Acharya doesn't mean quoting the verses perfectly. Perfect Acharya means to be perfectly situated in one's desire to serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is perfectly situated in his desire to serve Radha and Krishna. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is perfect because Prabhupada's desires are perfect. We don't care about language, grammar, Sanskrit verses. We don't care. Prabhupada understands the Siddhanta perfectly. Srila Prabhupada is perfectly situated in his service to Radha and Krishna, in the service to his Sri Guru. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is a perfect Acharya. I'm getting angry because once a very senior devotee told me like this about Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Another is Vijighatsa, which indicates that he no longer desires material enjoyment. Number five, no desire other than Krishna. No desire for material enjoyment. I only want Krishna. Example, Srila Prabhupada arrives in London and here is a man coming from India, underdeveloped country. The British reporter is very haughty. Is very egoistic, very puffed up. And she tells Prabhupada, so Prabhupada, how do you feel, Swamiji, coming to the great city of London, the Heathrow Airport? Srila Prabhupada said, this is hell. Even the sun doesn't rise, it doesn't shine here. Always dingy and cloudy and damp and depressing, dull. It is like hell. I have come here to give you what you forgot to take from India. You looted the Kohinoor, you looted so much wealth from India. Arey, but you forgot, you foolish Britishers, you forgot to take what is the most important thing in India, the spiritual culture. Therefore, I have come to give you spiritual culture. No desire other than Krishna. Prabhupada did not want to see the Thames River or the London Bridge or the Madame Tussauds Museum or the big roads or the nice comfortable accommodations that London had to offer him. Prabhupada was not interested in any of that. Only interested in Krishna. Only interested in Krishna. Once a very big industrialist and a socialite in Bombay committed suicide. He was in his 30s. He was a bodybuilder, very handsome. He was into movies and modeling. And he was known as a Casanova. Casanova means one who just goes around having multiple friends of the opposite sex and just enjoying in sense gratification. He had a love affair with a girl who ditched him. He got depressed. He overdosed on pills and committed suicide. And then he wrote a suicide note, which was published in the Times of India, a famous newspaper in Bombay. I had read it many years ago. And he says in his suicide note, with a wink emoji, I will let you know how the blondes are over there in heaven. So he, rascal, is thinking he's going to commit suicide. He has eaten meat, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling all his life, sense gratification all his life. Now he's committing suicide, which is the most sinful thing. And he thinks he's going to go to heaven and enjoy with the blondes there. So he says, I will let you know how the blondes are over there. That is the last words he wrote, suicide note. This is namam duskritunu mudam prapadyante naradama. Kama is testa ritagyana prapadyante anta devata. This is ritagyana. He has lost all his intelligence. Foolish people. Srila Prabhupada is teaching us only Krishna. Prabhupada had no desire for sense gratification. He had no interest in London. He had no interest in New York. He had no interest in Japan. He had no interest in Australia and New Zealand. Prabhupada was not going there for sightseeing. Prabhupada was only interested in Krishna. Fulfilling the mission of Krishna. That is a pure devotee. That is the meaning of Vijigatsa. Another symptom is Apipata, which means that he has no desire other than... this is Apipata, the fifth one. No desire to engage in devotional... No desire other than to engage in devotional service of Krishna. Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Another symptom is Apipata, which means he has no desire other than to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, his dear most pursuable Lord. A further symptom, the last sixth symptom is Satyakam, which indicates that all his desires are directed to the Supreme Truth, Krishna. He does not want anything else. He is Satya Sankalpa. Whatever he desires is fulfilled by the grace of Krishna. Prabhupada pointed his cane standing outside Bharati Vidya Bhavan and pointed to K.M. Munshi Marg and told Shyam Sundar, his personal secretary, Shyam Sundar, we should have a temple here. Satya Sankalpa, Satyakam. Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam vyaptim chabhuteshu akhileshu chatmana adrishyatatyadbhutarupa budhvaham sthambe sabhayam namrigam namanusham. Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam. The appearance of Lord Narasimha Dev is described by Narad Muni in 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam with this beautiful verse. Satyam vidhatum nija bhritya bhashitam. To prove the words, nija bhritya bhasha, to prove it to be satyam, to prove it to be true, Lord Narasimha Dev appeared. Namrigam namanusham, neither man nor human. Very beautiful. So Srila Prabhupada, whatever he desired was fulfilled by Krishna. Why? Because aham bhakta paradhino, sadhunam hridayam mayam. The devotees are always in the heart of Krishna, and the devotees carry Krishna in their heart. The devotees don't know anyone but Krishna, and Krishna doesn't know anyone but the devotees. So this is the sixth characteristic of a Jivan Mukta, that he is Satya Sankalpa, he is Satya Kam, his desires are always fulfilled by Krishna. Prabhupada says to Radha Rasvi Harilal, please stay here Radha Rasvi Harilal. I will build a temple for you in the Hare Krishna land in Juhu, Mumbai. Great struggle, great fight. Srila Giriraj Maharaj wrote a book on it. I will build your temple. Prabhupada promised Radha Rasvi Hariji. After a great struggle, tremendous fight, Srila Prabhupada won and built the most beautiful Shishi Radha Rasvihari temple in Juhu, Mumbai. We should go and visit. Very beautiful marble temple for the pleasure of Radha Rasvihari. Srila Prabhupada spoke and it came true. Quality of a Jivan Mukta devotee. Whatever he or she desires comes true. First of all, he does not desire anything for his material benefit. And secondly, if he desires anything at all, he simply desires to serve the Supreme Lord Krishna. That desire is fulfilled by the Lord's grace. That is called Satya Sankalpa. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the word Mahima means returning to the spiritual world, back home, back to Vaikuntha. Sri Shukdev Goswami says that the word Mahima means that a devotee attains the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is called Saddharma, the same quality. Just as Krishna is never born and never dies, his devotees who return to Godhead never die and never take birth within the material world. La Brahma. What is that? La Brahma stamba paryantam sarvam maya amayam jagat satyam satyam punah satyam harer namaya vakevalam. What is that? La Brahma punar loka. La Brahma punar loka. What is that verse? Somebody help me.
Punaravartino
Arjuna mamupetya punarjanma mamupetya to kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. A Brahma Punar Loka, what is it? A Brahma Bhuvana Loka, Punar Avartino Arjuna, Mam Upetatu Kaunte, Punar Janmana Vidyate. If we attend Krishna, we don't have to take birth in this material world ever again. Mahatmanash Tumam Partha Devim Prakriti Ashata, Bhajantanya Manaso, Nyata Bhudadim Avayam. What is that? Tukhalama Shashatam verse. Devim Prakriti Mashatam. What is that verse? Dukhalaya mashashu napnuvanti mahatmana samsiddhim paramam gatam. Those who have attained me, they will never come back to this material world because they have, under the protection of the Daivi Prakriti, they have attained the supreme abode. మాముపెత్య పునర్జన్మ దుఃఖాలయమ శాశ్వతం నాప్నువంతి మహాత్మన సంసిద్ధిర్ పరమాం గతాం. సో మాముపెత్య పునర్జన్మ దుఃఖాలయమ శాశ్వతం నాప్నువంతి మహాత్మన సంసిద్ధిం పరమాం గత. వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ వర్డ్స్. సో వెన్ వి గో టు కృష్ణ వి నెవర్ కమ్ బ్యాక్. సమ్టైమ్స్ యు సెడ్ వెన్ వి గో టు గోలోక్ వృందావన్ వాట్ ఇఫ్ వి మేక్ అ చాయిస్ బ్యాడ్ చాయిస్ అగైన్ అండ్ వి కెన్ వి ఫాల్ డౌన్ ఇన్ ద మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్. నో, నాట్ పాసిబుల్. Not possible. Once we go to Krishna, we never come back. We never come back in this material world. So thank you very much, dear devotees. I will stop here. If there is no time for question answers, but I will stop here. Sorry for going over time. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Guru. Thank you so much Prabhuji, such a nectarian class. Prabhuji, do you have time for questions?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I would like to request devotees, if anyone has any question, they can go ahead.
Thank you so much for a wonderful discourse this morning. Very enthusiastic and encouraging. Prabhu, you talked about two things. I have questions on that. You were giving the example of Srila Prabhupada, where a devotee, you know, quoted the incorrect pronunciation, and the real understanding of being in the service is the mood, you know, to be in the service, not the verses and all. How do we implement or take this, you know, as we are a lot more imperfect, rather, you know, we are, I think, at least for me, I can say, you know, I can be the most imperfect, but for me to be in service while I'm imperfect, how do I take it, you know, positively as well as same time, keep it balanced so that, you know, I remove those imperfections? Because if I am imperfect and think that, I'm serving, then I will not remove my imperfections also. But at the same time, I should not be discouraged that, you know, I'm not able to do because I'm mostly imperfect. So how do we, you know, understand that and balance it, Prabhu? If you can just give little understanding of that.
Hare Krishna, dear Raja Govind Prabhu. So two things, Prabhuji. One is that we should always be under the guidance of a spiritual superior who can point out when we deviate from the right path. They can correct us. That is important. And second is, you must have very good sadhana. Chant our rounds very attentively, serve the devotees, serve the Vaishnavas very nicely. Prabhu kahe Vaishnava seva nama sankirtan dui kara shigra pave Krishna racharan. When we do Vaishnava seva and nam kirtan very sincerely, nam bhajan very seriously, Krishna gives us realization. So how to do one service properly, because we are imperfect. So how to do our service properly, this understanding comes by real spiritual realization. And spiritual realization comes from nam bhajan and Vaishnava seva. I'll give an example. There was once a spiritual master. I will not say which city, which congregation. Somewhere in this world, there was one a spiritual master, and he wanted to conduct a Rath Yatra festival in the city. So he told the temple president that please let's raise some funds for this Rath Yatra festival. So the temple president asked, who should I ask for funds? So this Guru Maharaj had one disciple who was a little wealthy. At least he thought he was wealthy. So he said, you can ask him if he can help collect from the community. You can ask this, he named a devotee. You can ask this devotee also if he can help a little bit for Rath Yatra. So this temple president, he was also a disciple of that same Guru Maharaj. He goes to his god brother and he tells, Guru Maharaj has said that you have to donate 5 lakh rupees for the Rath Yatra. Now this devotee had just had some problem in his business and he had lost a lot of money and he was in a tight situation. So he had only 3 lakh cash, 3 lakh Indian rupees. He gave all of that and he took 2 lakh loan because Guru Maharaj said that I have to give 5 lakh. And Guru Maharaj never said like that. Guru Maharaj did not know about this. But this is he was not even a temple person, the temple leader who was trying to serve. The temple leader also is trying to serve Jagannath, Srila Prabhupada and the Guru. But see what a mistake he made in his service. How he manipulated things and ultimately, the Guru Maharaj was extremely displeased. So the Guru Maharaj said, you are trying to serve Srila Prabhupada and me, but this type of thing, you have put this poor devotee in such a financial stress, such a difficulty, now he has to take loan. You have completely displeased me. I'm not happy what you have done. So this type of realization how to do our service properly in a way that it will please Guru and Gauranga comes from good sadhana. If we have good sadhana, we'll get clear intelligence and we'll understand what to do, what not to do. Plus, we should have a Shiksha Guru who can guide us like that. So two things. We should have a spiritual guide and we should have good sadhana, because doing service properly, even though we are imperfect, doing service properly is a matter of realization. And realization comes from good sadhana. Is it okay, Ajay Govind Prabhu?
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji. That helps. Thank you so much. Right. Hare Krishna.
Vivek Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji, for a really nice class. So many points you mentioned. Probably one big takeaway for me in today's class is about the initial the moods that a devotee should aspire to develop while performing devotional service. With regard to that, I have a question, Prabhuji. So you talked about envy, enviousness, and how the gopis in the spiritual world have that mood. But we also read sometimes in Prabhupada's purports that out of the five categories that you mentioned, all the others can be exhibited by a devotee except for envy, he mentions. I forgot where, which exact purport he mentions. But with regard to that, this is my understanding, Prabhuji. Please, I would like you to clarify on that. Is like enviousness cannot be exhibited in a conditional state. Is my understanding correct, Prabhuji? And the second question I have is, how does envy arise in a devotee when Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita that he says samoham sarva bhuteshu, he says in the 9th chapter that he is not envious to anyone. So which means that Krishna doesn't have that enviousness nature within him. We also understand that everything comes from Krishna. So how does envy appear in a devotee even in a good way?
So that's why when I was talking about the other five qualities, I was free-flowing. But when I mentioned about envy, I clarified that this is a very deep subject and it's confidential and we may not be able to understand it. So why we are envious? It's because we are envious of Krishna. When we are envious of Krishna, that envy towards Krishna manifests in different forms of envy towards different living entities. But Krishna is always non-envious. Like you mentioned rightly, that samoham sarabhuteshu name dvesha sino priya. Krishna is non-envious. But we are envious. Although Krishna is telling us, become non-envious. Adveshta sarabhutanam. Krishna instructs in the 12th chapter. Become completely non-envious. But still, we engage in dvesh. We engage in envy. It is because we are envious of Krishna. Envy of Krishna manifests in these different forms. As far as the pure spiritual envy, that is simply meant for Krishna's pleasure. That envy that Srimati Radharani and Chandravali and the gopis manifest in their sweet exchanges with Krishna, that is simply a service to Krishna, because Krishna is pleased with that type of spiritual envy. That's why they manifest it, because it is pleasing to Krishna. But again, that's a very elevated subject matter and we may not be able to understand it. It's not material envy. It is a very spiritual envious emotion which pleases Krishna, because that is born out of intense love for Krishna. Because Radharani has intense love for Krishna, that comes. Is that okay, Vivek Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. So
that envy is very pleasing to Krishna, but our material envy is displeasing to Krishna. That's why Krishna says, Adveshta Sarvabhutana.
So not even material envy, Prabhuji, even in association of devotees, unless and until there is a Vaikuntha atmosphere within that devotee association, this enviousness cannot be exhibited in a proper mode. Is the understanding correct?
Absolutely. No, this envy is very spiritual, manifested by the Ragatmika Bhaktas.
Okay.
We have no access to that.
So, okay.
Yeah. You're absolutely correct in your understanding that this is a very high level and we cannot imitate it.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji.
When other devotees get mercy, we should not get envious. We should feel happy. When Maharaj Pratap Rudra was embraced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kaviraj Goswami writes, Pratap Rudrera Bhagya Dekhi Bhaktagane Rajare Prashamsasabhe Anandita Mane. When Maharaj Pratap Rudra got mercy, Rajare Prashamsasabhe Anandita Mane. Everyone became very happy and they started glorifying the king. Not that they were becoming angry. Why Mahaprabhu is embracing this king? Why not me? Not like that. So when others get mercy, we feel very joyous. That is a devotee. And when others are not getting mercy, we petition for them. When Maharaj Pratap Rudra was not getting mercy, devotees were petitioning Mahaprabhu to give him mercy. Nityananda Prabhu petitioned. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya petition, Ramanandaraya petition, like that. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Vaishala Prabhupada. Vamshidhari Gopal Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for
Prabhuji, I have a question. So in Bhagavad Gita, well, like Krishna says that we should be equipoised and in happiness, we should not be elated, in distress, we should not be like disappointed. So on a practical level, like how do we practice it? Because let's say if I don't express or if I don't show my emotions of happiness or distress in the corresponding situation, then also like others may take us as very rude or a dull or a, you know, insensitive person. So on a practical level, how should we practice, like internally, like what I understood that internally we should be neutral, but externally we can express it, but practically it's very difficult, you know, for current state, like so how do I take some steps to practice that internally I'm neutral, but externally I can still exhibit what I need to according to situation.
Hare Krishna. No, we should not be neutral internally. We should not be neutral internally. We have to be on the side of the devotees and Krishna, not neutral. So if a devotee is going through some suffering or some reversals or some challenges, then internally also our heart should be broken. Para dukkha dukkhi. And para sukha sukhi. So how so what is the meaning of matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkhada agama paino nityas tam stichaswa bharata. What is the meaning of this? Right. The meaning is that we may feel sad, but our service to Krishna, our bhajan should not get compromised. Our remembrance of Krishna should not get compromised. We will cry. We will faint. We will fall down. We will weep. We will beat our chest. Pashane kotibo matha. We will break our head with a stone.
Mm-hmm.
But we will be remembering Krishna. So devotee is not a dry stone, emotionless. No.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot be neutral. We have to be soft towards the devotees. Prema maitri kripopeksha. We love Krishna. We have intimate friendship with the devotees, prema, maitri, kripa, and we are merciful to the innocent. And upeksha, we avoid the envious. So internally, we are situated in this, that we love Krishna and we love Krishna's devotees. That is our loyalty. If something good happens to them, we become happy. Para sukha sukhi. If something bad happens to the devotees, internally, externally, we cry. Para dukha dukhi. But the meaning of titiksha, meaning of tolerance, means that our bhajan, our faith in Krishna should not get compromised, should not get shaken. So Draupadi Devi was not standing like a dry wood. Okay, pull the sari. I am not this body. I am the soul. No. Draupadi Devi told Krishna, Krishna, this body belongs to you. Pradigyatava govindaname bhakta pranashyati iti samsmritya samsmritya pranam samdharyamaham. That this body belongs to you, Krishna. And Dushasana is trying to defile your property. So now you come and save. You come and Krishna came.
Right.
Krishna came. So Draupadi, when she was in the forest, when Durvas Muni came with his 60,000 disciples, Draupadi Devi said that time my life was in crisis. I was being disrobed. Right. Now your 5 devotees will get cursed. Please come. Durvasa sova kyamupetta Krishnas sacha bravitkana navasinisham antah pravishtam manasa juhava govinda damodara madhaveti. Durvasa so vakyam upetta Krishna. When Durvas Muni's command was received by Krishna, Draupadi Devi, that I am coming for bhojan, I am coming to eat with 60,000 disciples after my bath. Sacha bravit kanana vasi isham, she called. She was kanana vasi. She was living in the forest. She called out to her ish. Antah pravishtam, she went inside the kitchen in the cottage. Antah pravishtam manasa juhava govinda damodara madhaveti. Come and save your 5 devotees. Oh, Govinda Madhava. And Krishna came running. He did not even wait for Daruk to get the chariot ready. He came running to the forest. So like that. So for others we pray, for others we cry. But our bhajan, our remembrance of Krishna, our crying is in relationship to Krishna. Our prayer is to Krishna. Our chanting is for Krishna. we never forget Krishna. In fact, when we are sukhi, we increase our bhakti. Mm-hmm. Krishna is so nice, let's have a festival. And when we are dukhi, we increase our devotion again, because helplessly we are crying out to Krishna like Draupadi. So happiness or distress, our bhakti, our devotional practices only keep on increasing. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. Then our, in this way, our internal bliss increases. So even when we are crying, it is an ecstasy, because that crying is in relationship to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Yes, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Like, I was struggling with this for a long time, and today you made it very clear. Thank you so much.
We can take last question by Anjali Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanwad Pranam. Thank you for the very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I have one question, not from the class today. This is from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj's class. The day before yesterday, Maharaj was giving the class, and he, like Maharaj usually uses this sentence that in the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. So how do we understand this? Like, there's Ashtaprahar Leela, there is morning, Krishna goes to the forest, and evening, yes, he comes back. So yes, simultaneously, like, how can this be? Correct. How can time be present and not be present?
Correct. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Natat bhasate surya, na shashanka na pavaka, yad gatvana nivartanta dhama paramam mama. In my abode, there is no need for surya, shashank, no need for moon, no need for fire, electricity. So what is the meaning of this? So there is Ashtakalya Leela, like you said. There is a sunrise even in Golok Vrindavan. There is sunset even in Golok Vrindavan. There is moonrise in Golok Vrindavan. There are six seasons in Golok Vrindavan lasting 2 months each. So how to understand? So when Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj and our acharyas say that in the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence, means time is absent in the sense time does not have the eroding, corroding, devastating, degenerating effect that it has in the material world. In the material world, time has an effect of degenerating, deteriorating things. Even if you build a temple, with time, the walls will start crumbling, the paint will start coming out, and every building has a life, 100 years, 150 years, then you have to break it down and rebuild it. So in the material world, time has an influence of deteriorating, degenerating, corroding, eroding things. In the spiritual world, time is absence. Time is conspicuous by absence in the sense that time doesn't have this deteriorating and pulling down, degenerating effect. How Satyug, everything is pious. By the time Treta, Dwapar, Kali comes, the consciousness has degenerated. In the spiritual world, this influence of time is not there. In fact, in the spiritual world, as the spiritual time goes on, eternally, the Anandam Budhi Vardhanam Prati Padam Purna Amrita Swadhanam. At every step, the bliss, the love only keeps on increasing. So time does not have a deteriorating, corroding, degenerating effect in the spiritual world, but it has an effect of simply facilitating the love and the pastimes of Krishna and his devotees. Does that make sense, Anjali Mataji? Because time is a servant of Krishna. Kalosmi. Time is Krishna's energy. So time serves Krishna in that way in the spiritual world. It doesn't have the degenerating, deteriorating effect like it does in the material world. That is the meaning of time as we understand, as we perceive it in this world, is absent in the spiritual world. Is that okay?
Yes, Prabhuji, very much. Thank you.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. So it's very late. We'll stop here. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, श्रेष्ठ आदि गदाधर प्रभु जी की जय।